Oh, the regular season is just around the corner, Dub Nation. The Warriors are ratcheting it up. There was practice today. There's always stuff going on. I got Alan Stiles, one of the voices of the flagship station, the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game, joining me next. Should be a fun show. I love Alan. Let's get into it. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Alan Stiles on Twitter at @_StilesFiles. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at @DocSurfRoadShow. Alan, how are you doing, man? And what were your first thoughts from the first two preseason games of the Warriors playing in Japan?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm not one of those people who, oh, I love the fall. I very much do love the summer. So a little sad that the summer is now over, but it does also mean that Warriors basketball is here. I was going to say right around the corner, but it's here. So very excited for that. And I mean, the preseason games that we've seen so far, what can you say about Patrick Baldwin Jr.? During the offseason, we talk about finding these hidden gems and the culture and all these things. It's almost as if the rich get richer. But when you are a fan of the rich, like we are, as in the Golden State Warriors, you can't be anything but happy about it. You get Andre Iguodala back. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more as we go. But yeah, man, everything is looking up for the Warriors right now.
Absolutely, man. I'm gonna speaking of Patrick Baldwin Jr., and actually before I jump into that, I was just talking to a good friend of mine about the many decades of darkness that Dub Nation had to endure before this dynasty we're experiencing now. Right. And just the fact that I never picture this. Like I never envisioned in a million years that the Warriors would not only be a championship team, but a damn dynasty. It's incredible. Right. It's absolutely incredible. And you're right. It's just the rich get richer, and that might be the case with Patrick Baldwin Jr. I have this sound clip from today's post-practice. I want to play real quick. This is from Kevon Looney talking about Patrick Baldwin Jr. Actually, I haven't heard this yet, so let's hear what Looney has to say.
You know, a lot of guys that come into the league that have had parents as coaches like Pat, you can kind of see that in them. What are you seeing in that regard with Patrick?
Just his feel for the game is really high. You can tell that already, you know, him being a rookie and, you know, not even playing a lot of college games. And for him to have that feel already, he already knows where to be at. He picks up on everything really fast. And, you know that's what's something that you need to be on his team. You know, he's a high IQ player. And I know Steve loves guys like that. So he's going to probably find his way on the court somehow. You know, it's going to be a lot of work, a lot of talent at the position. But, you know, the way he shoots it and his feel for the game, it's already taking a step in the right direction.
I know it's only two preseason games, man. It's very early. So, but, I mean, give us your thoughts, dude. I mean, this kid looks like the real deal. It's only two games. I know it's only two games. Mm-hmm. But, dude, there's reason to be encouraged here.
I mean, definitely reason to be encouraged. And it's funny, you know, obviously basketball season is essentially started, but we are also in the midst of the football season, and the Warriors really took a bit of a page out of Kyle Shanahan's book, as in he loves guys that maybe had some injuries and dropped a little bit in terms of their expectations. They go out and get them. They've done it with George Kittle. Now they're doing it again with Drake Jackson. And that's a little bit of Patrick Baldwin Jr. This guy was a really, really top recruit. And what happened was he decided to stay at home, stay close, work with his dad, play with his dad, had some injuries, kind of fell off the radar a little bit. But when you have that type of size, that type of jump shot, right? And this is a wing-driven league. How can you let something like that go? So, like you said, it's early. It's a long season. Obviously going to be a learning curve. And at that position, you know, there's a lot of competition. But just to have this issue, it's a really good problem to have if you are the Warriors or Golden State Warriors fan.
Yeah, he would have been. It was just a year ago that he was a top five consensus high school All-American. Duke wanted him. He went and played for his dad. But one of the flags coming out of college, besides the fact that his numbers weren't up to par. And a huge reason for that, besides the injuries, was the fact that other teams, their schematics were focused entirely on him. You know, when you're playing Milwaukee and you got Patrick Baldwin Jr. And four other scrubs, no disrespect to those other players, but
right.
You're going to focus on PB&J, and so your number is going to be affected by that. How impressed were you, given another huge flag was these ankle injuries, or this ankle injury that apparently affected him his entire freshman year, it also affected him in high school. He gets drafted by the Warriors, and like a month later, after dealing with their medical staff, he's fine. There's like right. No residual.
And you know what? I wouldn't say necessarily people like me, but a lot of people saw this and saw, okay, well, Ryan Rollins isn't playing. A lot of these guys that they drafted, we didn't even get to see play. And we're thinking, what are they doing, right? We do this so often. What are they doing? And just stick to the plan and believe in what they're working with. Again, obviously it's still early, but, you know, they make the right decisions. Look, we know you want to see these guys at Summer League. We have bigger fish to fry, and that fish to fry is hopefully a repeat. And for him to come out, look the way he did, it's so funny to me because all these guys, at what point are we just, not us Warriors fans, but the naysayers, and they're still out there. At what point are you just going to say, look, these guys just know what they're doing? And that's yes. No disrespect to, you know, a lot of the guys that have come through the system. But a big part of this is, I know this is an overused term, but the culture. I mean, yep. Once you start, you look this way, how could they get Otto Porter Jr.? How could they get Bielitsa? A lot of these guys, look, the Warriors don't have any money. It's not as if they're cooking the books or something like that. They're getting guys that other people are allowing to go, and they're making it work. I mean, Patrick Baldwin Jr., another guy. Multiple teams had opportunities to get him. They go out, they find guys that they believe are going to fit the system. Gary Payton II, all these guys. Oh. And if you start to look at what they do once they leave the Warriors, only a handful of them continue on the same trajectory. So a lot of it is, yes, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all of that. It's all one great recipe that makes an amazing meal, and you add guys that you know aren't going to take away from it. And I think that's the most impressive thing. I mean, you know, they're going to find people that fit exactly what they want. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But it feels like Cyrus, as of late, they've been on a bit of a hot streak, and they've been finding guys that they've been hitting on a good bit.
Absolutely. Like, really, the only year where I feel like they struck out a lot was 2020, when you had like Glenn Robinson III and, right. and Alec Burks. You know, and I'm holding my phone here because, speaking of like the naysayers out there, ESPN had this poll today. NBA.com.
Here we
had,
go. Here
you
we
saw
go.
This? So NBA.com had a GM survey. I don't know how many GMs were surveyed for this, but they were asked, who are your championship favorites, right? 11% said the Boston Celtics. Okay. 21% said the LA Clippers. All right, they got talent. It's just whether or not they're going to bring right. it together. 25% said the Warriors. 43% said the Bucks. Your immediate reaction to that?
Well, I'm just glad that the Clippers weren't any higher than they were. Because I know, I'm so tired of this Clippers stuff, man. I mean, if they stay healthy, we've been saying the same thing for the last 3-4 years now. I mean, at some point, they have to at least do something for me to even include them. When it comes to the Bucks, the first thing I think of is, not to take it there, but I'm wondering if a lot of this has to do with the Celtics drama going on, because Vegas has the Celtics, or had the Celtics, as co-favorites with the Warriors at very worst, at very best, once they got Malcolm Brogdon. Some Vegas sites had them as the, you know, by themselves as the front runner to win this whole thing. So I don't know if there's something going on there. If not that, I mean, I was in the camp in terms of Chris Middleton. He is kind of the Robin that is one of the best Robins you could have for Giannis. The reason that their partnership works so well is because Chris Middleton, they're both good at things that the other person isn't great at, right? Where Giannis isn't really the shooter, even though he's improved. Chris Middleton is the closer. He's the knockdown guy, because when things get tight and Giannis isn't necessarily getting the foul calls, because we know he gets fouled a lot, he doesn't get called every single time. Very Shaq-esque in that way. You have right. Chris Middleton to come in and close. And then going back to last season, Chris Middleton gets hurt. Obviously, they don't go to the finals. So I get it. I still find it extremely disrespectful. I still find it extremely disrespectful because all the Warriors have done is get better. I mean, yes, they lost GP2. Yes, they lost Otto Porter Jr. Yes, they lost Bielitsa. But this is what we, you know, this is what we already discussed. JTA, yep. You know, a lot of these guys, this is what we already discussed. No offense to those guys, but we've had so many of these players come and go. And I said when they went out and got Dante DiVincenzo, some people were thinking, oh, I'm not really sure about him. He's had some injuries. He was on the Bucks, and he, you know, a lot of people thought he didn't show up the way he did when we saw him winking at Villanova during the national championship, and everybody thought this guy was going to be, you know, the next big thing. But right. I guarantee you in maybe 2 years, when it's time for him to go, he would have priced himself out of the Warriors, and people are going to be saying the same thing. How could we have let Dante DiVincenzo go? It's this cycle that keeps happening with the Warriors. So at some point, there's no offense to these players, but maybe as much as it is about the players, it's also about the system. And when you have a core that consists of one of the most unique players we've ever seen in Draymond Green and the best shooting backcourt of all time in Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, featuring the best shooter of all time and a top three shooter of all time,
yep.
That helps too. So that's no offense to GP2. That's no offense to all these guys that have come and gone. But I feel like the Warriors, when they bring somebody in that they know they're going to be able to, you know, mold to what they want, you got to feel good about it. And let's not forget, oh, by the way, Moses Moody, another year older. You know, Kuminga, another year more mature. All these guys. So I don't really understand. I mean, having the Celtics or having the Bucks as a favorite, sure. What did you say? 40%? That's 40, pretty crazy.
45. Yeah, 45. Yeah.
That tells me that they don't, to me, that even sounds like they don't think the Warriors are going to get to the finals, because I don't know what the Bucks have necessarily done.
Nothing.
Nothing. You know,
43, by the way. It was 43. And you're right. And that's been my argument. I've talked about this a lot. When people say, well, the Bucks, they've done nothing this offseason. And it's like there's some young, more athletic team. Middleton's 31, Drew Holiday's right. 32. It's not like they're like young, you know, spring chickens out there. You know, I'm with you, man. They don't have the depth. And I always look back to last March, the Warriors and Bucks played a nationally televised Saturday game where both of them were trying, man. Like mm-hmm. when the whole country's watching your team in a regular season game, players oftentimes perk up a little bit. And especially if it's like a, you know, marquee matchup between two potential championship contenders, they're out there trying. The Warriors did not have Draymond Green in that game,
right.
And they crushed the Bucks. Like when I saw that, all my doubt was out, man. I don't
think. Yeah, and it's funny because you'll sit there and say, well, who's going to guard Giannis? And I don't know if it's just we need another episode for just the disrespect of Steph,
yes.
And how there's just so much of nobody ever says who's going to guard Steph. It's always, well, who's going to guard Tatum? Who's going to guard Giannis? All these guys. And no one ever asked the question, well, who's going to guard Steph? So, and not to mention, Klay, another year removed from those terrible injuries. Mm-hmm. So he, this year, a lot of people thought that the season we're going into right now, this was supposed to be the year that the Warriors were rolling on all right. cylinders. Last season, you had, you know, rookies and Moody and Kuminga, and you had Klay coming off injury. You only had Klay for about half the season. Draymond with his back injuries. Steph missed some time. All these things. This season we're going into was supposed to be the season everybody sits there and says, okay, the Warriors are really rolling. You got Klay starting to roll into form. This is the first I saw, and this things you don't even think about. This is the first preseason that Klay has been able to go through in years, right? He didn't get to go through any of this stuff, camp, all of these things because he's been injured. So You put all that together. I'm not saying that it has to be 100% Warriors, but 43% right. to me sounds like, you know, I don't know what they're sipping, but it might be some type of Haterade. I don't know what flavor because it doesn't make very much sense to me.
I'm absolutely with you, man. And in just a moment, I want to talk about another player who's finally going through a training camp and preseason and who so far is shining, and that's James Wiseman, who's so far so very good, man. I have no idea what this team's going to look like if he actually plays up to his potential. But first, I got to give some love to a longtime sponsor of this program, Built Bars. I love these things. You know, they're on average about 160 calories, so it's not that much. And unlike a candy bar that has 28 grams of sugar, your Built Bars only have 4 grams of sugar. And their newest flavor is cookie dough chunk puffs, which have a light, chewy texture. They have real cookie dough chunks in them. True story. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. And one of the best parts about Built Bars is that they're packed with protein. The cookie dough chunk puffs have 15 grams. On average, most Built Bars have 17 grams of protein. And that protein is collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, provides tons of health benefits. You can eat something that tastes good and is good for you. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks again for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview starting October 10th. It's a 6-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NBA season. The local team experts and the NBA insiders of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey all combining into one Ultimate NBA Preview starting October 10th. Search for Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Alan Styles on Twitter at @_StylesFiles. You can follow me on Twitter at @DogSurfRoadShow. And again, Alan, one of the many voices on the Warriors flagship station, 95.7 FM, The Game. James Wiseman, man. Look, the first game he played where I think he had like 21 points, he looked damn good, dude. Like there was that one dunk that where he was being a challenge and he just straight stuffed it over the defender. Your early impressions of this young man who could be a profound a player for the team.
It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. You know, the new Little Mermaid is coming out, so I'm going to use that line right there. It's a whole new world because if you look at this whole dynasty that we've had with the Warriors, who's been their most athletic big? JaVale McGee, who was essentially a backup for majority of his tenure there. So I think that this season, going into this season, I've always thought, okay, whatever year James Wiseman comes back, that's what you expect out of him. What we saw from just these early games, right, in this first preseason game, he could be more than that. And I think that that is something that this Warriors team has never had. I think there will be a transition period as they get used to it, but ultimately it's only going to help everyone. Number one, it helps Draymond, who I saw you tweet not too long ago about Draymond's back, who I didn't realize how bad it was. I don't think a lot of people really realized how
no
bad
one did.
It was.
I don't think anyone did except for people in the team.
So now going into his later years to allow Draymond to not have to bang in the post with a lot of these 7-footers, that is one of the most, I think, important pieces of this. Offensively, you already have so many weapons. This just brings another one. We know what happens when, you know, they're partying in Chase Center, the threes are falling, Steph is shimmying, everything's great. But there are times when that's not the case. There are times where they go cold. And, you know, ever since Sean Livingston, you haven't really had that, all right, let's just get 2 on the board and let's get this thing rolling again.
Right.
You have that a little bit with Kuminga. He can get to the rack, but he's still learning. James Wiseman and Draymond is great at this. Steph is great at this. All right, we're cold right now. Let's run some P&R. Let's get James Wiseman going to the bucket and let's just kind of reset things. I think that's going to be huge. It's going to be a learning curve for him as well. He's still getting used to the league and things like that. But my goodness, I mean, to see what he's doing right now, again, now you're getting me upset against Cyrus about this 43%, because now I'm thinking all the stuff I just said, and you add in a healthy James Wiseman. And again, it's so funny going on social media when this stuff happens and you see, how were they able to finesse this and figure it out, where, you know, it's just a really well-run organization. And when you put winning as your number one priority, everything else seems to fall into place. And I think that James Wiseman, he's been through a lot, man. And I love to talk about athletes as far as what they do on the court. I also like to talk about who they are as people. And I know James Wiseman, as young as he is, you know, being able to, even though he didn't get to play, being able to pop bottles and be a part of that winning culture, he wants to be a part of this. And everybody has passions, right? I mean, you do these podcasts and you love talking about the Warriors. If you weren't able to talk about the Warriors for a year, that'd be really tough as you're watching other people talk about the Warriors. Whatever your passion is to anybody that's listening, I mean, if you're James Wiseman, you grew up playing basketball. You love playing basketball. He's barely gotten to play basketball since that Memphis he wasn't able to. Then he has the year with the Warriors that was a rough year. Then he gets injured. Then he has complications. So it's just a great story to see him be able to get out there. And whatever he's able to bring, if we were building this as a dessert, I would say he's maybe the sprinkles, right? I mean, Steph is the eggs and the flour and Draymond and the milk and all that stuff. Then you start to get to the icing. I think that James Wiseman could be those sprinkles or that cherry on top that really, as soon as you have this all game planned, if you are, okay, Clippers, okay, Mavericks, okay, whoever you are, the Suns, even though we don't know what's going on with the Suns, you sat there and said, we have this whole thing game planned out. Oh, by the way, here's a 7-footer that you haven't had to deal with before, and he's healthier than ever, and he can jump out the gym, and you still have to deal with the weapons on the outside.
Absolutely, man. I by the way, I love that metaphor you pulled out about, I don't know if it's maybe allegory, about the us finding passions in life. Because you're right, man. If this is almost like therapeutic for me. So I can't even begin to imagine, you know, how he felt those 2-3 years. What are your passions, by the way?
Well, just like you, I love to talk sports. You know, I like to try to stay in shape. You know, I like to run, and I just signed up for one of those mud races, a Spartan race. So if I wasn't able to do that, you know, and I get to watch, and I have to watch everybody else do it, all my other buddies do it, that would bug me. It would be tough, you know. But just like you, if somebody zipped my mouth shut for a year and I couldn't talk sports, it would be brutal. It would be brutal, man.
Absolutely, man. And I feel like the only two parts of Wiseman's game that still need to be developed a little bit are, for some reason, he has problems holding on to the rock. I don't know why he's having those issues. I don't know if you saw that as well. Hopefully, it's just the speed of the game, and as it slows down, he'll be better at that. And then he gets in foul trouble. That second game in Japan, he fouled out. Yeah. So he still needs to work on that, but he's close, dude. I mean... there's optimism abound, and Patrick Baldwin Jr. got to add, he's got size too. He's like, when I saw him in person and I talked to him for a little bit, I hope he comes on the show soon. I definitely would ask your producer to book him, because he's a good kid, man. Like, you could tell he's been around the game, like, you know, so he's polished. But he's a big dude. Like, and you saw that on the court. Like you could put him at the five as a stretch at some point, I think, if you had to, and he could hit the threes, a natural shooter. It opens up so many doors, man. I'm ecstatic about it. Are you worried about Klay Thompson? The Warriors supposedly have a scrimmage this Thursday, and he's been ruled out. He didn't play the first two games in Japan because he admitted it himself. He said there were mental hurdles. You know, he didn't play pickup basketball, which he normally likes to do, because he tore his ACL, or not ACL, his Achilles, playing pickup ball. So he kind of was a little apprehensive. Plus, he did nothing but party all summer, celebrating the championship. Any concerns on Klay? You're a former athlete, man. Like, you know.
I wouldn't say I'm worried about Klay, in that I think when it's time to go, he's going to get out there. But I do think, number one, kudos to him for being open about it, because that's a good point. That's, again, something that, you know, you don't think about, talking about passions. I play basketball myself. You know, I get out there a little bit. I try to do my thing. But, you know, I think that for Klay, what I am a little bit worried about is that he sees maybe the writing on the wall, or the writings on the wall, and presses a little bit. Look, we're going to have conversations about Wiggins. We're going to have conversations about Jordan Poole. We know that there's only so much when it comes to the money that they're able to spend, because of the luxury tax and those penalties. So I wonder if Klay presses a little bit early, because he has to show that he still, you know, can do his thing. I believe he's going to be up for some type of extension, not in the not so distant future.
Correct.
As well.
Two years.
So a lot remains to be seen in terms of, am I worried about him on the court? Health wise, no. I think that he's being open in terms of it being more of a mental hurdle. Now, that mental hurdle could then turn into the Klay that we saw when he first joined, when he was just hucking up everything to let everybody know he was back. And, hey, I'm still Klay. I'm still Klay. Maybe this is the beginning of a different version of Klay. Maybe Klay, we don't know what option he's going to be on this team. And I know it might sound crazy to say, but that's just the reality. And the reality is it's less about Klay and more about the fact that the Warriors have continued to draft really well.
Yeah.
If Klay was the straight up second option coming off these injuries and it wasn't close, you can make the argument we might not feel as confident about a repeat, you know, and that's no slight on Klay. It's just you need more guys and nobody is necessarily getting younger. And it's not even fair to compare him. I think a big thing too is you cannot compare him to Steph Curry. Steph Curry, there are only a couple guys out there that are not just in basketball, in all of sports that are able to do what these guys are doing as they get older. You got LeBron James, you got Steph, you have Tom Brady, I even think those days are past him. I think we're seeing a different version of Tom Brady. So it catches up with everybody.
Yep.
So it's no indictment on Klay. It's just how life is. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if we see some pressing from him early and he has to be reminded, hey, let the game come to you. But I think that at least for this season, sticking to this season, everything is going to come together. I can't speak on past this season, though, but we don't have to talk about that now.
Well, the optimism for beyond this season is that the CBA, when it's renegotiated, they're going to take away the luxury tax penalties for drafted players
right.
Because it goes against the entire spirit of the rule.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know, a team like the Thunder, the Jazz, I mean, who are stocked with first round picks. I mean, these are small market teams who are not going to be able to afford to keep their players. And the Warriors, just because they draft well, they're being penalized for it. It's ridiculous. So let's hope that CBA is revised. I'm hearing good things about it. Keith Smith with SpotTrack was on the show about 2 months ago, and he has optimism that they're going to revise the CBA to stop penalizing teams for their own draft picks, which would be huge. It would change everything for the Warriors if that happens.
Yeah.
And this brings up Jordan Poole. I believe like if he doesn't sign his contract extension in the next, I think, 2 weeks, they're going to have to wait till the offseason. He might be a restricted free agent. Steve Kerr was asked about that today after practice. And here's what Kerr had said.
You keep up to date as much as possible with all the contract potential talks that are going on in the next few weeks. Do you stay away from it?
It's not something I discuss every day with Bob, but if anything is going on, he usually kind of just pulls me aside and shares, you know, what's happening. So, you know, Bob and I haven't talked about it in a week or so. I know usually this stuff, as far as Jordan is concerned, it always goes to the last second with all these extensions, rookie extensions. So, but with, you know, with the other guys, those extensions could happen at any time. So there's not a deadline on anything. And so I don't pay much attention to it. That's Bob's job. Yeah, but if there's anything that's pressing or that comes up, he'll let me know.
By the way, I want to quickly mention, and Alan, when you host your next show on 95.7 The Game, ask your producer to find that sound clip. I played it on yesterday's show. I tweeted it of Bob Myers talking about what he looks for in personnel. Really insightful. I never see Bob Myers passionate when he speaks. He was like fired up, talking about how the postseason and the regular season are just completely different. Mm-hmm. And so when he looks for players, he wants players to not only have a diverse skill set, but also who thrive in the postseason, when instead of that 2 foot gap you have between you and your defender or beyond the arc, now it's 2 inches. Fouls are called much less frequently. So he picks players based on postseason rules, not regular season rules, which I love. I also don't understand why most teams don't do it. But then again, 43% of NBA GMs think the Bucks are going to win the title. So maybe that explains it right there. So your thoughts on Jordan Poole, man. And I guess just the outlook of whether or not he should get a max deal. Have you heard anything? Your thoughts on the Poole party?
Yeah, as far as I know, from what I've heard, it is, depending on what happens with what you just spoke in terms of the collective bargaining agreement and that getting changed, as presently constructed, everyone is pretty much, and I don't know what you've heard, is basically Wiggins or Poole. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that the chances of the Warriors keeping both of them just based on what Draymond is now asking for, and everybody else on the team. The chances of having both of them on the roster going into next season are very, very slim. Now, obviously, if they extend Poole now, that tells you what that answers your question, because, you know, Andrew Wiggins, for as great as he is, it's just it's tough because he is one of the guys that they didn't draft. So that doesn't help either. Right. As far as Jordan Poole on the court, I think that he's very polarizing because nobody necessarily knows what his ceiling is. I mean, you could make the argument that he's pretty close. You can make the argument that he's not close at all, right? True. So you could see it happening both ways. Defensively, he's got to get better, and he's got to show that this year. I think the Warriors are in a tough spot because he's going to be restricted even if they don't sign him. So they'll have a shot. And Jordan Poole, and I don't know why the Orlando Magic, one of these years the Orlando Magic are going to be good. I'm going to stop using them as an example, but I always use the Orlando Magic in terms of if the Orlando Magic want to give Jordan Poole $1 billion, then, and he wants to go, he can go. But besides that, if the Warriors, the reason I feel like they will extend him now is because if he has another crazy year and, dare I say, even makes the All-Star team, something like that, then they're in a situation where, sure, you can match the Orlando Magic, but you can't match them. So, you know, in theory, you can match them, but you already have all these other price tags that you have to pay out. So I would bet he's younger than Andrew Wiggins. I think that when you look at that position and the scoring ability of Jordan Poole, that's what makes him so unique. Andrew Wiggins, for as good as he is defensively, and what he did in this finals against the Celtics is legendary. It will never be forgotten.
Agreed.
But if you're asking me, who do you think you can more easily find moving forward? I would trust that you can find some version of an Andrew Wiggins somewhere. Maybe you already have it on the roster. Maybe Jonathan Kuminga takes that next step. You know, maybe some of these guys that the Warriors already have can continue to grow, and you have – that's the other thing. Klay Thompson, another year removed. We all think about Klay offensively, but let's not forget he was top two-way player before his injury. So you have Klay. This would be now two years removed from injury. You have hopefully Jonathan Kuminga figuring things out, and you have the rest of that roster. It makes Andrew Wiggins, for lack of a better term, a bit more expendable than Jordan Poole, because even to this day, when Steph is out of the game before Jordan Poole's arrival, it still got a little dicey, right? For even prior to Klay Thompson's injury, he's not the guy that's going to create for you. And I hate to do this, Draymond is catching a stray here, but when you have someone on the court like Draymond, who teams are going to say, go. And now, by the way, Draymond, his jump shot looks a bit different. Looks like he's been working on some things.
Yeah,
agreed. 2016 Draymond back shooting wise, that changes things. But right now, you know, you see some of those screenshots of people just staying just far away from Draymond. You have to combat that with offense. So I don't think they can afford to lose somebody like Jordan Poole, simply because if you look at the scoring on this team moving forward, if you take away Andrew, if you took away Jordan Poole and kept Andrew Wiggins defensively, yes, outstanding. Offensively, okay, Steph goes to the bench. Who right now is going to be, hey, go get me a bucket? Who is that guy for you? And as good as the Warriors are, we don't know. I don't know if Moody is going to be that guy. I don't know that he is. I think he's more of a system guy, and he's going to be in the right place and do the right things. Kuminga, he's not there yet. So that explosive guard play, off the top of my head, I think you already have it with Jordan Poole. Dante DiVincenzo, sure, but we've seen more from Jordan Poole already. We hope Dante DiVincenzo shows us some of those things, but you know Jordan Poole has done it at the highest level. Yes, literally, sir. Now, I know Dante DiVincenzo has a ring, but I believe he got hurt in the first round when the Bucks won the whole thing. So he hasn't really gotten – we haven't seen him perform at that level. So to me, if you're making me choose just based on dollars and cents that are not mine, although I wish it was, you have to go Jordan Poole.
Yeah, and just to finish up here, when you bring up the Magic, Draymond Green for some reason always picks on him too, use an example of like a bad NBA team, because you're right, it's been a long time since they've been relevant.
I mean
I honestly can't think of them.
Dwight Howard and Jameer Nelson.
That was
early 2000s or something.
I was thinking like Shaq, Penny, Dennis Scott. I mean Nick Anderson, but you're right. They did have the Dwight Howard years. They're bad. They're just bad.
So, yeah, they're just the easy option off the top of my head. It's them or even the Pistons might even turn it around, but one of
Kings.
Them. The Kings, right?
when you talk about Poole, I feel like one huge reason why I don't want to let him go is because the Warriors in 5 years could be a whole different level of lethal. It's Poole the point guard, Moody, Kuminga, Patrick Baldwin Jr. suddenly might play into this. Wiseman might be your starting center. Players like Ryan Rollins could come off the bench. And Steph and Clay and all of them could still be playing. I don't know about Draymond. But so the future could be bright, man. And again, I follow Alan Stiles on Twitter, the_StilesFiles. Are you verified yet, man? Are they still screwing you
over? No, so my plan is I feel like I don't want to put in for it until I get to 1,000. So I'm at 930 right now.
Okay. And all right. Follow
him. I flew to 930. I went from one tweet, kind of did some numbers, and I went from like 880 to 930. And I'm thinking, yes, I got this. I got this. It's been a bit stagnant. So the quest to 1,000, and then I will put in for my verification, because I don't want to be that person that doesn't have 1,000 and is verified. I don't want to do that yet. But once I get to 1,000, I'm going to throw a party. I might invite you and we can enjoy ourselves.
There are some folks out there, man. There's one guy who has like 200 followers and he's verified. I do.
Maybe he worked at Twitter. He knows someone. Who knows, man? Who knows?
But you can follow, regardless, help Alan get to 1,000. You can follow me on Twitter at the_StilesFiles. You're a host at 95.7 The Game, the flagship station, the Warriors. I think you do some work with Cron 4. Anything else you want to promote before we call it a wrap?
Yeah, no, catch me on 95.7 The Game most of the time on weeknights or weekends, doing the 49ers post-game show as well, so you can catch me after those games. Good stuff.
Good stuff, man. Thanks, Alan. Always a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks.